let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargel and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, AncientHopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the AncientHopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the AncientHopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Father John and Danny. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I am here in the studio with Father John Wargel. Welcome back, Father John. Great to see you today.
It's great to see you, too.
Yep. Good to be here. We're going to continue the story of Moses. He's already killed somebody. He's known now to some of his own people and to the Egyptians as a murderer, so he's got to get out of town.
Yeah, he gets out of town, and there's this beautiful romantic story about how he met his wife, came upon Jethro of the Midianite in the wilderness,
and
Zipporah, his wife. He settles down for 40 years. He's watching the sheep, and as far as he's concerned,
life is good.
Life is good.
Got my life is good t-shirt on today.
right. But in today's readings, though, we see that he was shepherding his flock near the mountain of God. Horeb is the Hebrew word, or Sinai. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. The modern Mount Jebel Musa. Usually that's where people identify it. I mean, there are a number of different places where they identify it. We're not quite sure, but one thing for sure, and that is it's in the wilds, in the deep desert wilds.
Okay. Yeah. So God finds him in this desolate, wild area.
Well, that's good. God finds him, and maybe he's, you know, this mountain's very mysterious. Okay. Mm. It must have been known from hoary antiquity that this mountain was special. It's because it's the mountain of God,
yes.
Right?
Now that's what they
How
say.
How it got that reputation, we don't know.
Right.
But it goes way back. And so Moses must have been sort of mindful of this. And of course, when you're thinking about mountain motifs, that's a big one in Scripture.
Okay. Sure,
it really is. Remember we talked about Eden being a mountain.
Yep.
Right? The mountain of God. And we see that the human race wants to get back to Eden, okay? And so we see that the Babylonians building a ziggurat or a tower.
Yes.
That top would reach the skies, right?
Yeah.
And it's a tower in a city. It's all part of this whole metropolis type idea where the men and the gods kind of, you know, live together. That sort of thing, right?
Right. So man in his own, trying to do things himself, decides we're going to build something that's as big as a mountain.
Yeah.
So that we can get up to be with God.
Right. And you see this everywhere. I mean, you see it in Egypt with the pyramids, right?
Yeah.
Humans are builders, okay? And they're always trying to build something that will last for eternity. I mean, you have to admit, the Egyptians did pretty well with their with their pyramids.
They're lasting.
They're still lasting, right? But they're looking a little ragged around the edges, right?
True,
So, but anyways, this mountain is in the wilds, and it's the least expected place where you would find it. I mean, but that just tells you something right there, okay? Men are doing their own things, right? And hopefully they can gain control of the gods and bend them to their will through magic and so on and so forth. But here we see Moses on this mountain, and he comes across the burning bush.
Right.
Okay.
Crazy.
Yeah, because he comes near and he realizes something, that this fire is not an earthly fire. Earthly fires burn up everything.
Yeah, right. So he sees that the bush is not being impacted by what looks like flames.
Right. And that's quite an analogy, though, for how God's fire works in us.
Ah, yes.
Okay. It burns away all that's bad, right? But it doesn't burn ourselves.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And matter of fact, we come more into ourselves. And so this bush is a theophany, but it's also teaches us something about the fire of God. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is very, very, very important. So what we have here is an encounter with God. And Moses is like everyone who encounters God. It's a numinous thing. We've used that word many times.
Yes.
He's in terror because he's covering his face. And he realizes what's going on. But on the other hand, he's drawn to it, right?
Yeah, and he's told that it's a holy spot. Right. I mean, he's
right.
He sort of gets this message.
Yeah.
That you're on holy ground.
Right. Yeah.
Remove your shoes. Yeah. That's really
right. Don't bring dust into, you know, this holy
space.
Place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's even, you know, the church fathers make a lot of that too. Right. It's taking off the shoes and which is this worldly things, you know, that cling to us.
Yep.
And just happened to us, you know. I mean, it even goes right up into the Gospels where the foot washing, right? Where Peter says, "Wash all of me," right?
Right.
You know, no, just your feet, because we all walk upon this earth, and we do need cleansing that way. But so you know, this motif sort of goes through Scripture as well, right? Yeah, and so we see that God is reaching out to him, and it's not like the impersonal gods of the other mountains, so to speak, and the metropolis, the, you know, the neon sign type place, you know, where everybody thinks, you know, this is greatness. Again, it's in the far distant in the wilderness, which is often, well, when we think about the wilderness, it's also one of the three elements of chaos: darkness, watery deep, and the wilderness.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So, you know, you think the mountain of God would be just some verdant, splendid, gorgeous place, but it's barren and rocky, right?
Yeah.
God chooses this place to put his reputation in, and it's where he encounters Moses, and he says, "Moshe, Moshe." Okay, it's the double being the name, like it's Avraham, Avraham,
yes,
right? Moshe, Moshe, right? And even when God proclaims his name, as we shall see on the mountain, he says, "Yahweh, Yahweh," you know? The doubling is a very, very somber, but very, very emphatic thing.
I was going to say intense.
Intense thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, "I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob." So he realizes that this God, Yahweh, he hasn't really shown his name to be that. We're going to talk about that in one or two more posts ahead.
Uh-huh.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Father John Wardle and Danny Gallagher. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Father John and Danny.
Yeah, he says, "I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob." So he realizes that this God, Yahweh, he hasn't really shown his name to be that. We're going to talk about that in one or two more posts ahead.
Uh-huh.
But this is a relational God, okay? Huge, very big, okay?
Yeah.
And we talked about that when, you know, in our Genesis readings, okay? He's a relational God. And he is now, how should we say it? He's stirring something in Moses' soul. With this encounter, he can never be the same.
Yes, right.
Right, but that's the way it was with every encounter, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly the way that it is with me. I mean, I had an experience of God early in my life, and it changed me forever.
It put it on a whole different trajectory.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so now he's basically asking him, okay, giving him a task, that when he was young and strong and, you know, 40 years ago, he tried to accomplish on his own, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, however happy he must have been living out, you know, in a pastoral life and having a wife and children and, you know, just living life, you know?
Right.
Deep down in his heart of hearts, he had to think that there's something here, you know, something I remember deep down in my past, you know, something about Egypt. It's about my people being enslaved.
Sure.
That must have been gnawing at him for a long time, you know.
Well, if I was going to say that if it wasn't, I suppose it probably was. But if it wasn't, this is God's attempt to help him remember.
Yeah.
I mean, that certainly does happen.
It's kind of like, you know, Moses, remember, you remember those stirrings of your youth and what have you? Now I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Or you're coming home to me. You're coming to the...
Yeah.
So it's a call. Mm-hmm. Okay. And quite frankly, we are all invited into this moment. Every believer of every age is invited into this scene.
Yeah.
Okay. And it becomes ours. And we've talked about imagination before, how important it is.
Right.
It is through a spirit-led imagination that we make our way back to reality. And the reality is God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so we enter into the story via our imagination, and it becomes ours. All of us are called like Moses, right? All of us are called like Abraham. We don't know what his call was like, but God spoke to him in chapter 12 of Genesis, get up and go.
Yes, okay? Right.
Right. And
it was a lot for him to do it. You know, I mean, it was his whole life changed.
That's right.
Just like Moses is about to.
That's right. You know, and Moses, he's asking Moses to do like the most insane thing. Okay. Hey, yeah, you go to Egypt, you're going to deliver my people. Yeah, right.
I'm a murderer there. Yeah.
And that's just one small part.
Right.
I mean, you know, we're talking about this massive society that goes back into the deepest part of prehistory, with armies and chariots and with the pharaoh who parades around like a god, right? And can have your head cut off at just a, you know, lifting of a finger, you know, that sort of thing. And here comes bebopping.
Yeah, right. And the whole magic, the dark kind of side of things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the scary magic and all that stuff we're going to be talking about, right? But I think we're all invited to gaze into this divine fire. Again, I've said it many times, we become what we see.
Mm.
And when we see this fire, uncreated fire, it stirs our soul. It's terrifying. I mean, Moses is terrified.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, he's elated. His soul is elated because when eternity touches the heart... Then it receives a certain satisfaction that's beyond expression.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So he's asked, you know, take his sandals off because it's common ground, and what, you know, common and holy are opposite things. And so there we are. I mean, you know, the common and the mundane, I mean, that's what people are, I mean, people are bored, Danny.
Yeah. Well, they're always looking for something to get them out of that boredom, I think.
And when that thing fails, they get bored of that, you know, and you get bored of that, bored of that. Danny, only thing you really can't get bored of is God.
Yes, right.
Right? You know, and people don't know that because God is holy. All these other things are not holy. Holy, by definition, is unique, mysterious. It's everything our souls long for, and it's in this fire, in this burning bush.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so to gaze upon it really is life-changing, and there's an openness, though, that has to be there for someone to really draw it in, take it in, and have them open, you know, to being changed like that.
I would call it curiosity.
Okay.
Okay, because Moses sees it from a distance, and he's curious.
Ah, true, yeah. He heads toward it.
He's curious. Yeah. And he has, you know, so many people are not curious when it comes to things of God, okay? Because the devil's got a hold of their curiosity on little things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So curiosity is another one of these interesting parts of the soul. The more I think about all the parts of the soul, the more expansive it becomes, right?
All those things that we talked about last time that are part of that quote-unquote intellect.
Right.
You know, all those things,
all
the emotions
things.
And the, yeah.
Yeah, right. You can add curiosity to the whole thing.
Right, right? Yeah. Yeah, good.
Yeah, so that's all great, you know. So, of course, in the end, the fathers say this theophany is Christ. And so you're gazing on Christ. And in John, the book of John says, the Gospel of John, it's all, he who has seen me has seen the Father. You know, that seeing motif is so important.
Yeah, right? Good. Okay, well, Moses is on his way now.
That's right. We're on our way.
Yeah, we'll see what happens next. Okay, good. Thanks so much for coming in.
Mm-hmm.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture.
Thanks for listening. The Deep Dive into Scripture podcast theme music is Epic Trailer by Scott Holmes, sourced from scottholmesmusic.com using a Creative Commons license. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple or Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.